weekend when he'd been in high school. I was several years behind him, but they'd still talked about it at our elite prep school, long after he'd gone off to Harvard. I stared at Emily as the car promenaded around the fountain. When it pulled to a stop, my sister's dangling earrings swayed and glinted in the fading sunlight. "It fits in my purse," I said softly. "Don't worry." Even though I didn't give a shit what people thought of me, this was a huge night for my sister. I wasn't about to screw it up for her. I was fiercely protective of her, and she was my best friend. The door on Emily's side opened, and a man stood at the ready, an oversized black umbrella in one hand and his other extended to help her out. "Good evening," he said. As she took his hand, I shoved the book into my bag. I watched the pair of them as he ushered her up the stone steps, sheltered under the umbrella so her hair and makeup wouldn't be ruined by the drizzle. I was out of the car before she'd gone inside, and when the man turned and saw me walking toward the house in the rain, he sprinted in a panic, rushing to get me safely under his protection. It was ridiculous. Besides the fact it was basically misting, no one really cared how I looked. Most of all, me. I was only here for my sister's benefit. The invitation had been for both Northcott sisters, and it would have been rude for me to decline. Besides, part of me was curious. I'd been to the Hales house many times over the years, but never for one of Royce's parties. The usher's voice boomed when I stepped through the front door.
"Miss Marist Northcott."
It stunned me motionless. Had he legitimately announced me, like this was some social ball from the 1800s? I waited for a chaperone to appear and pair me up for a stilted dance with a suitor, but thankfully, no one came. There were a few people milling about in the foyer, but no one I recognized. Conversations and laughter buzzed from the next room over, echoing in the large entrance. I faced the grand staircase that split halfway up, running away from the enormous painting of the Hale family centered over the landing. I stifled the urge to slink up the staircase and away from the horror of having to mingle. Emily was just inside the front sitting room. She snatched two glasses of a bubbly drink from a waiter's tray as he passed by, and then held one out without even turning to glance over her shoulder at me. I took the glass and slipped by her side. I was only 20, but no one cared whether it was legal. We'd all been drinking since high school. "Christ, I think half the company's kids are here," she muttered beneath her glass the moment before she took a sip. I surveyed the crowd and came to the same conclusion. Hale Banking and Holding Company had started out as a simple bank, but over the last 150 years had grown into so much more. Now the eighth largest bank in the world, they had financial and wealth management, commercial banking, and were pressing deeper into the global markets. At the helm of HBHC sat McAllister Hale. He controlled an enormous empire and was barely 50 years old. I'd only spoken directly to him once. He was tall, broad-shouldered, and handsome, but also the kind of man who made you feel like a nuisance, like you had no business being near him and using up any of the air in the room to breathe, because that was his air. It, along with everything else, belonged to him. Mr. Hale didn't appear to be around. It was unlikely, anyway. This was Royce's party, to celebrate his graduation from Harvard Business School. His father had better things to do than hang out with college kids on a rainy Saturday night. Conversations bounced off the dark paneled walls, high ceilings, and hardwood floor. The sound was too loud to be soaked up by the Persian rugs and expensive couches. I lingered at Emily's side as a shadow while she mingled. She made effortless small talk with a dozen people I recognized from school or our father's job. We believed Charles Northcott, our father, was on the cusp of making the board of directors at HBHC now that Mr. Steinway had retired.